Welcome back. The Tehillim Shiurim that we have every Sunday morning are especially relevant now during the month of Elul, because during this time we're so connected to Tehillim. This is the time when we get back to Tehillim and we make our decisions that this is the year I'm going to start Tehillim again, because Tehillim really is very helpful. And at this time of year, we need a lot of help. Let's discuss exactly what that means. But I just want to begin with a brief introduction. Many of you have heard this many times before, but for those of you who are new, this is a very important concept, and it's really a very brief introduction. Another time I'll do it more in depth. Tehillim is living Torah, and we'll see exactly what that means. But the songs that we sing as we bring Torah into our lives and in every aspect of our being, the goal of saying Tehillim is not just about saying the words. It's not opening it up and saying the words. That's not the goal of saying Tehillim. It's not even the goal of Tehillim. It's not even to know what the words mean. Rather, saying Tehillim is about integrating the messages, the words, the ideas, the melody, the rhythm into every single part of ourselves, so that when we finish saying the Tehillim, we are in a different place. We have transformed ourselves. We are different people because the Tehillim has inspired us to go somewhere amazing. Our day is different because we've said the Tehillim. We are different, and we have changed ourselves, and therefore through changing ourselves, we have created powers that can change the world. So in other words, Tehillim is not just something that we say, it's something that we do. Tehillim is an active concept. As we begin Chodesh Elul, we add a Tehillim to our tefillah every single morning, and Mariv, or if you're Sephardi, Mincha time, we say it from the beginning of Elul until Shmini Atzeres, and this Tehillim is Perek Chav Zayin. We all know this, L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishim Mi Ira. And it's not just a concept. When our rabbis tell us that we should add another perek at the end of davening, it's not because it's Elul and you should daven longer. The reason that they're telling us to add this perek is not because Hashem needs these words. Hashem doesn't need the words of Tehillim, at least this perek. It's because we need the Tehillim to change ourselves so that we can move into the proper place that we need to be in the month of Elul. The Tehillim is supposed to transform us and prepare us for each and every day during the Elul and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot season. And that's what it's about. When the rabbis say this Tehillim, they're saying it's going to do something for you that you really, really need. So what we need to do as we approach the Tehillim is ask ourselves, what does it do for us? How can it change me? What is it telling me? What's the song? What's the rhythm? How is my life going to be different because I'm saying this Tehillim? And that's what we're going to work on as we start and we work on Perek Chav Zayin. Perek Chav Zayin, you have it in front of you, Hebrew and English. It's clearly divided into three sections. And so we will work through section by section. Without further ado, let's just start and go into the translation of these psukim. Pasuk Aleph. L'David, by David. It's interesting that most of the Tehillim that we've looked at that have something about David at the beginning start off with Mizmor L'David, L'David, Mizmor, Maskil, Lamnatzeach, you know, the orchestra is getting ready. There's no musician, it's no orchestra, it's just David telling us something that you really need to know. It's almost like a speech by David, but we'll see it's so much more than just a speech. And here he starts. Visualize the words clearly. The older I get, the more just looking at the words of Tehillim alone is enough. You don't need Mefarshim, you don't need Midrashim. The words alone are real music and real relevant, beautiful poetry. So let's just focus on the words that we say every day now during this time. Hashem Ori V'Yishi. Hashem is my light and my savior. Mimi ira. So from whom shall I fear? Hashem is constantly directing me. Hashem is showing me who's stronger than Hashem, who's richer than Hashem, who's more powerful than Hashem. Hashem is constantly with me. I have no fear of anyone. Hashem ma'oz chayai. Hashem is the fortress of my life. And you have to picture this image of a fortress. Mimi efchad. Hashem is totally surrounding me like a fortress. From whom shall I fear? So, Pasuk Beis, since I feel the sense of strong security and direction and protection and guidance, Bikrov alai mereim, when those who wish to do bad to me come close, le'echol es besari, to consume my flesh, tzorai be'oivai li, they are my enemies, they hate me. Notice how we focus on the fact that they are my enemies. Sometimes we have a problem of recognizing that people who want to destroy us are actually our enemies. They are our enemies. Heima kashlu v'nafalu, they will stumble and fall, as opposed to me. So when the enemies are coming closer, I know that they're going to fall. Im tachaneh alai machaneh, and now notice the situation is getting more desperate. Even if they camp against me, lo yira libi, my heart will not fear. Im takum alai machama, even if they actually start a war and the guns start going. Bezos ani boteach, in this I trust. In what? In Hashem. In Mahashem Me'oz Chayai, most of Farshim say it like that. But it doesn't say Ba'Shem Ani Boteach, does it? Even the dollar bill says, you know, in God we trust. And here it says, Bezos, with this, or in this I trust, leaving us room for some ambiguity there. Yeah. The Shechina, okay. And the Midrashim go on and explain, Bezos ani botech, there's a reason for the ambiguity. I already said I believe in Hashem. So Bezos could be that Midrash goes in all the different places that different mitzvos are introduced with the word Bezos, including to the last big one, Bezos HaTorah, you know, because of the Torah, because of the mitzvos, I have bitachon, because I know I'm doing what I need to do. But let's look at this further later. I just want you to see Bezos ani botech, in this I trust, in Hashem I trust, in the mitzvos I trust, and we'll see more later as well. Pasuk Dalet. So here this person is clearly, there's a war facing him, and what's very important when you're in a difficult struggle, difficult battle, in a difficult situation, in a war, you need to be very focused on what I want out of this. You know, if you go in and you're not focused on what you want, it's a very big problem, and you often won't even know if you won or lost. So I have faith that he's going to save me, and I want to win, and Pasuk Dalet, Achasha Alti Me'et Hashem, I want to win because I know what winning is about. One request I have from Hashem, Osa Avakesh, and I will ask that again and again and again and again. I'm not changing my mind tomorrow. There's one thing I want. Shifti beveis Hashem kol yemei chayai. I just want to dwell in the house of Hashem all the days of my life. Lachzos benoam Hashem, to be shaded by the pleasantness of Hashem. Ulevaker behechalo. Levaker does not mean visit. Levaker means contemplate. When we talk about Bikur Cholim, we're not necessarily talking about visiting the sick, because as you know, that's not always the best thing you could do for the sick person, is visit them. But it's Levaker, contemplating what they need, trying to understand what they will need. Do they need more tefillah? Do they need my help in their house? Do they need my help with the children? Do they need, what do they need? That's Bikur Cholim, trying to understand what the Chola needs. Ulevaker is trying to understand Hashem more and more and more. Behechalo. All I want is that feeling of shifti beveis Hashem, living in the house of Hashem. Wherever I am, I feel it's the house of Hashem. And when that's all you want, look at Pasuk Hey. We are so confident that you have to understand, at the same time the enemies are coming, and we're saying Pasuk Hey, Ki Yitz Beneini Bisuko B'Yom Ra'ah, when Hashem hides me in His shelter on a bad day, when Hashem hides me in His shelter, yes, Tireini B'Seser Ahalo, He will hide me in the cover of His tent, and B'Tzur Yerom Ameini, when I feel Hashem is covering me, hiding me, taking care of me, it's as if I am on the highest rock in the world. That's what gives me my nobility and my pride. That's what winning is about. I want to share with you something beautiful of Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch looks at the word ki yitzbeneni b'suko. If you look at the word suko, it looks like what word? The way it's written. Sukkah. You would think it would have a vav at the end. Ki yitzbeneni in his tent. So what Rav Hirsch says, when we think of a sukkah is the lowest kind of place to live. It's a hut. And yeah, we like it for the first, you know, for the 7 days of sukkahs, but if sukkahs was longer, maspikvar, you know, sukkahs is the lowest level of a place to live. But when we look at any sukkah that we have in our lives, sometimes it's a very shabby shack. But when you look at it as sukko and understand that Hashem is giving it to you, it's a whole different experience. That's shifty b'beis Hashem. I am in the house of Hashem in whatever situation, whether it be a prison, whether it be in my beautiful home, whether it be at the Kotel, whether it be in Ritz Hashem very soon in the Beis HaMikdash. I feel that Hashem is totally, it's His tent. I am sitting in His tent. And then you're the most noble, uplifted person wherever you may be. And I'm so confident, Pasuk Vav, the Atah, and now that I feel this protection, that any Sukkah becomes His Sukkah, His tent, that He's taking care of me. The Atah Yerum Roshi Aloi Vais Vivosai, and now that Hashem has lifted me up above my enemies around me, because I so feel His presence. The Ezbacha Ba'aloz of Chay Sruan, I will bring Karbonos in His tent, Karbonos of rejoicing, Ashir of Hazamer LaShem, I will sing and praise Hashem. So here David HaMelech is literally facing these enemies and planning the winning party and the big Beis HaMikdash Sudas Hodah that he's going to be having very soon. How's that for Amuna and Bitachon that we start off our day with? Hashem Ori V'Yishi, Hashem Ma'oz Chayai. This is unbelievable, Amuna, and a beautiful way to start any day. But let's look at the setting for the story of Amuna. Where is the setting? Clearly the setting is in a... You don't have to be creative, it's right there. The setting of the Tehillim is... in a... Before that, where's he talking about his Amuna and Bitachon? He's in a war! There are enemies coming that are camping against him, that are fighting against him. This is a war. Let's not kid ourselves. This is clearly David HaMelech being faced with enemies coming closer to him. So the Medrash, usually the Medrashim try to figure out from Tehillim, when did David HaMelech say this? Like, what event inspired this Tehillim? So the Medrash gives a lot of possibilities, and it starts and says, this Tehillim was inspired by the battle that wasn't even a battle, but it started off where the Jewish people were leaving Egypt, and all of a sudden they see the Egyptians coming after them, and they look back, and Bikrov Alayim Mera'im, all of a sudden the enemy was coming closer and closer. What do we do? Hashem is going to take care of us. Hashem is going to take care of us. And then the Pasuk says in Shemos, Vayar Hashem et Halayla, Hashem lit up the night. Literally, Hashem lit up the night so they could see where they were going. Hashem Ori, literally. And this is what, when we say this to Tehillim, we're taking ourselves back to this story of the Jewish people leaving Mitzrayim and turning around and seeing the enemies and having this Bitachon Hashem is with them. Another next Medrash takes us to a different possibility. One is not exclusive of the other. It says this is a battle that David HaMelech was fighting with the Amalekim. Before David HaMelech became king, and he had just a very small group of people who surrounded him, and he was taking care of his family, and all of a sudden the Amalekim knew that David HaMelech is going to be a powerful leader, and so let's get him down now, and they pursued him, and they fought him, and they wanted to destroy every last one of his people, and his children, and his wives, and it looked like it was impossible for David HaMelech to win. But Hashem Ori V'Yish'i, this is his inspiration. This is what he went into that battle with Amalek. The Medrash continues, another possibility, again, not exclusive, is that this is the Tehillim that David HaMelech was saying when he went to fight Goliath. And Goliath says literally, I'm going to take your body, rip it up, and give it to the dogs. Le'echol es b'sari, to eat my flesh, literally. Hashem Ori V'Yishi Mimi Ira Hashem Oz Chayai. All I want is to feel your presence, Hashem. That was it. And then, I'm just going to go on because of time. And then the Medrash goes on and says something that, like, Ma Kesher, as our kids would say. It says, you know what else this Tehillim is inspired for or said by a Kohen Gadol. As he's going into the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom Kippur, this is his Tehillim, Hashem Ori, and this is why we know the famous Chazal that talk about Hashem Ori on Rosh Hashanah and Yish'i on Yom Kippur, and then Ki Yitz B'neini B'suko, literally in the Sukkah, because this is the Tehillim that follows us into the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur experience. You know, we're all dressed up. We have nice meals, and we have a very organized where we're gonna daven, where we're gonna eat. What's the, you know, ma kesher between going into the Kodesh Kodashim on this beautiful, royal, holy day, and going into battle? But if you think about it, when the Kohen Gadol, the Midrash says, goes into the Kodesh Kodashim, there are many forces against him. The Satan is there. All the Averos that we've done as a Klal, as individuals within the Klal, are following the Kohen Gadol into the Kodesh Kodashim and knocking us down as individuals and knocking Klal Yisrael down. And the Satan's saying, you know, why are you giving them a good year? What do they deserve it for? And the Kohen Gadol's going in, and literally he knows, if we didn't deserve it, what happens? Does he go out? What do we all say in Rosh Hashanah? Mi yichye umi yamut. And we know it too well. That's what Rosh Hashanah is about. It's a day of who's going to live and who's going to die. And isn't that what happens in a war? Even if physically we don't die, what happens on Rosh Hashanah is we are trying to work on being the most expanded, best person we can be. And what happens? They're forces that try to break us down, so we're not as good as we can be. And we're not the we who we really need to be. This is what this Tehillim is about. There are all kinds of forces that try to bring us down. There are physical forces that want to destroy us, take away our land. There are spiritual forces that also want to take away pieces of who we are. And what the Midrash is saying is it's all the same thing. It's war is war. And so this is the Tehillim that to this day Chayalim say as they go out to war. Hashem Ma'oz Chayai. And we say every day in Elul. And then Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur through Shmini Atzeret. The Midrash is telling us, when you think about it, but write it down. The Midrash is telling us, as we prepare for Yom Kippur, you've got to think war mode. And what it means, when we know too well what war mode means, it means you're constantly focused on what's going, where it's coming from, where's the enemy, who is the enemy, what are they doing, what happened, a cheshbon nefesh all the time, and reanalyzing your strategy. Did I approach it right? Did I not approach it right? Did we have to change it? It's a constant, what can I do, what can I do, what can I do? It's a constant mode. It's not a sad, hopefully it's not sad, but it's a very challenging and time of tension. By definition, the Zohar brings down, he says, "Bechodesh zeh, in this month of Elul, tzarich adam latzeit l'milchama neged hayetzer hara." This month is a time of battle. We have to look at ourselves as we are going out to war. And this Tehillim reminds us every single day that we are fighting. It's almost as if, not almost as if, when we start this Tehillim and we say this Tehillim, I know I told you it's not a song, but we like songs. And this Tehillim is not a sad song. But it's a da-rum, ba-rum, ba-rum, like get yourself going. You need this Tehillim to get you going, and we'll see how important it is as we continue. The other thing, it's very, very important to understand when you're fighting what you want out of it. And when you don't know what winning is, and this we also know from politics, and I don't want to get into it so much, so we'll just keep your thoughts, including mine, you know, we'll keep them inside. But when we haven't understood what winning a war is about, you don't know if you won or if you lost when you finish. And I think it also works that way when you have petty quarrels with people and you're struggling with yourself for things or you're struggling with others. It's very important to know, what do I want out of this? And sometimes when you really don't know what you want, or what you want becomes nothing close to Shifti Beveis Hashem, like I want to feel close to God, I want to feel good about myself. If it just becomes like I just want to get them, then you know this is not a war that, you know, Hashem Ma'oz Chayai with. So that's just something to think about. So we need to identify the goal. And here clearly the Tehillim reminds us that goal is Shifti Beveis Hashem. I want to constantly feel Hashem is with me and I'm doing the right thing. part two. Part two takes us from this very confident warrior to a different place. And what happens is that sometimes we believe, you know, if we went around and said, who has emunah, we all raise our hands, we do have emunah. We say this and we do believe it. Hashem ma'oz chayai. But what happens when you're in a difficult situation, even though in your intellect and your speech you say one thing, deep down you're in a tremendous amount of pain, tremendous amount of worry, and you're just scared. And you panic because you're scared. Somehow your intellect and your words don't synthesize with how you really feel and how you're getting it through. And it's overwhelming going into this struggling war experience. So David HaMelech too, the confident warrior, the fourth wheel on the chariot, on the Merkava, he too believes Hashem Ma'oz Chayai, but when he's in the battle, this is what goes on. And all of a sudden, part two changes. It's, you know, the first part one is he's telling us something. Part two, he's not talking to me. He's not talking to you. He's just totally looking up at God because he knows God is there. And he says, Shema Hashem koli ekra Hashem, please listen to my voice when I call v'chaneni v'aneni and be gracious unto me and answer me. L'cho amar li bi bakshufanai. This is a very difficult phrase to translate it. Pasuk says, deep inside my heart is talking to you and my heart hears you talking to me, bakshu fanai, like deep within I know you're there and you're saying, come on, you're good, you can do it. But it's so deep. Es panecha Hashem avakesh. I want to see it on your face. I need it more external, Hashem, how closely you are with me. I need to see it more clearly. As panecha Hashem avakesh. I know deep down we have a strong relationship, but I need it to be more overt, more external. Al taster panecha mimeni. Hashem, please don't hide your face from me. I want to see you clearly in front of me. Al tat ba'afavdecha. Don't push your servant away in your anger. Ezrasi hayisa, you've helped me in the past. Al ticheni ve'al tazveni. Please don't forsake me or leave me. Elokei Yishi, the God of my salvation. Pasuk Yud is probably one of the most desperate psukim in all of Tehillim. Ki avi ve'imi azavuni. My mother and my father and my mother have left me. I have no one. V'Hashem yasveni. And Hashem, you will bring me in. Hashem, please take care of me. I have no one else to help me. And therefore, Pasuk Yud Aleph, since you're my Ori, since you're my Or, my light, Horeini Hashem Darkecha, teach me your way, Hashem. Show me what to do. Unecheni ba'orach mishor, and lead me on the correct path, or when we're dealing with our personal struggles, lead me on the path of integrity. Let me do the right thing. Leman shorai, because of my enemies, Hashem, yeah, if you don't take care of me and you don't help me, my enemies will bring me down. Please, they're right there. And again, this identification of there are those that are coming to destroy me. Al titneni b'nefesh tzarai. Please don't deliver me into the hands of my enemies. Ki kamu vi edei sheker vifei hamas. For there are those who are false witnesses against me and who rise against me breathing words of violence. A clear identification of and a visualization of enemies that I have. There are those who are bringing me down. Please, Hashem, I can't do this alone. And that's part two. No longer this confident warrior, is he? It's a desperate plea. Hashem, please help me. Why does he need help? Because he's struggling. There's a war going on. There are those who are trying to kill him. And where is he when he needs help? He's in the battlefield. And why does he cry out to Hashem? Because what does he know? Hashem ma'oz chayai. Hashem is there with him. Hashem, please help me. I need to see it. Very interesting. And this is where we talk about living Torah. In last week's parsha, Parsha Shoftim, talks about different mitzvos related to going out to war, which is not coincidental that every year Parsha Shoftim comes out literally with the beginning of Elul. It's not a coincidence. We need to know about war. And here the psukim, flip over the page. I have them for you. Now look at the psukim in the Torah, written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then look at David's poetry, how he takes the psukim of the Torah and incorporates it into his singing, his song. Ki seitzei la'milchama al oyvecha, when you go out to war against your enemies, and note, and Rashi says it there, note, they are your enemies. V'ra'isa sus v'rechav amrav mimcha, and you'll see horse and chariots, a nation that's stronger than you. Lo siram mehem, don't be afraid of them. Ki Hashem Elokecha imach, because Hashem is with you. Hama'alcha me'eretz Mitzrayim, who took you out of, or took you up from the land of Mitzrayim. V'yak kikar v'chem el ha'milchama, no bekrov alai. When you get closer to the war, v'nigash ha'kohen, and there's a special kohen, it's called the kohen mashuach mechama, the kohen that's anointed specifically to take us out to war, because most kohanim did not go to war. And he will speak to everybody and say, Pasuk Gimel, v'yomar alehem, Shema Yisrael, listen, Jewish people. And what does that conjure up in your mind? Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Atem kravim hayom lemilchama. You are coming close to war. Again, that bikrov alai. Al oivechem, on your enemies. Al yerach levavchem. Al tiru, v'al tachfizu, v'al tarzu mipnehem. Different lashonos of don't be afraid. Ki Hashem Elokeichem haholech imachem lehilachem, because Hashem is going with you to fight. Im oivechem, with your nation, with your enemies. Lehoshia eschem. Yish'i. Hashem is going to save you. Found this concept of Hashem is with you. This is what we need to hear before we go out to war. The Kohen says Hashem is going to take care of you. Hashem is going to protect you. And then what do we sing? Hashem Oriv Yishi Mimi Ira Hashem Ma'os Chayai. To this day, that's what we sing. Yes. And then the Shotrim continue. The officers get up after the Kohen, and they say, whoever is different, if you just built a house, if you just got married, go home, don't come to war. And then they continue, Pasuk Ches, skipped a few psukim, V'yosfu ha-shotrim, and then the officers continue, L'daber ha-la'am, and they speak to the nation, V'amru, and they say, Mi ha-ish ha-yarei v'ha-rach ha-le-vav, whoever is afraid, Yelech v'yashov l'beito, go home. And don't get everyone else worried with you. Don't bring everyone down. If you can't fight, if you're too scared to fight, don't stay here. And they leave. And a lot of them leave. And there's a machlokas Rashi brings down between Rabbi Akiva and Rav Yossi. And Rabbi Akiva says, what are they afraid of? To die. No. Not yet. They're afraid of kamashma'o. They're afraid of dying in war. And then Rav Yossi says, why would they be afraid of dying in war? They're afraid of the averas that are in their hands. And they feel like we can't do it. We're not zocha. Who are we to try to fight a battle? Who are we to think Hashem is with us? We have to go home. I did this wrong. I did this wrong. I did this wrong. And they're vidoying the whole time. And they can't get out of that mode. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm not a worthy person. And Hashem's not going to take care of me. Go home. They don't stay at the battle. Let's hold on to this thought and continue into this week's parsha. This week's parsha, without going on into the mitzvah too much, but there's a mitzvah that the soldiers have to take along with them, along with their spear. They take a yated. You know what a yated is? A shovel. To this day, they still have it. One of the 613 mitzvos. They take a spade, a shovel with them, along with their weapons, because when they have to go to the bathroom, they have to go away from people, and then they can cover it up afterwards. Now you'd think, during war, just who cares what the cleanliness and the sanitary conditions are? Just fight that war and fight good, and you know, certain things don't matter in war because we're just all fighting. No. And the Pasuk says, you need that because Hashem Elokecha mitalech bekerev machanecha. Hashem is walking in your camp. Lahatziocha, to save you. You're fighting a war and Hashem is right there next to you holding your hand. V'latetoy vecha lefanecha, to give your enemies in front of you. V'haya machanecha kadosh. And your camp is holy. Your camp is a shul. You have to be very tzanua in your shul. Things that we would do in a bathroom, we wouldn't do in our shul. This is a shul, the battlefield. Why? Because we need Hashem desperately, and Hashem is so close to us. We are fighting, we are struggling. We talk about, in the month of Elul, we all have heard this concept of Hashem basadeh, right? In Elul, Hashem is in the field. And therefore we can do, and Hashem listens to us, and Hashem hears our tefillos. What field is Hashem in? When it talks about Hashem basadeh, Hashem is in the battlefield. Hashem is in our battlefield. We need him desperately. Hashem, b'krov alayim mera'im, there are those forces who are coming against me. There are those forces who are not even telling us they're our enemies. You know, help us, help us, help us. And so if we act in Elul like every other day of the year, and we're not fighting, and we're not struggling, and we're home, why is Hashem with us? Hashem's not with us any differently than he is any other time of year. But Hashem comes down to the Sadeh, Hashem comes down to the battlefield because it is a time that we're struggling, and again this Tehillim gets us to this place of get ready, get moving, get struggling, focus on fighting, focus on who you're fighting and how you're fighting. You know, we don't like struggles, we don't like conflicts, we don't like any of this, and we certainly don't like the struggles that we go from within and the interpersonal things that we have. But that's what we need. You know, we don't want to admit it, but if you think about it, what's our name? B'nai Yisrael. Yisrael, and we are in Eretz Yisrael. How do we get the name Yisrael? Ki sarisa'im Elokim ve'im anashim v'tuchal. Because you struggled with God, you had your spiritual struggles, you struggled with people, you had your interpersonal struggles, and you won. You came out with nobility. That's who we are, and Hashem wants us to be who we are. You know, you think of a milchama, a war, if you think of it physically, what happens in a war is the process is very difficult. But at the end, when you win the war, your land is expanded, your rights are expanded, your pride is expanded. It's a whole expanding. Think of our land of Eretz Yisrael today, what we have, because we won it in a war. The same concept with spiritual battles. When you win the spiritual struggle that you have from within or with someone else, and it's a spiritual struggle that's a meaningful spiritual struggle that's real, at the end you come out expanded and more capable of doing so much more and ultimately getting closer and closer to Hashem. So that again, we have to ask ourselves, is this struggle that I have ultimately going to get me closer to God? If the answer is no, then it means this is one of those struggles that, like your friends say, don't deal with it. It's not there. Just ignore it. That's one of those struggles to ignore. It's not a struggle that makes you Yisrael. And now that we understand the importance of fighting and that we are fighting, when you start a war, when you're in a war, what's extremely critical to the success of the war is your strategy. How do you do it? How do you get through this battle, struggle, pick your word that you need? How does David HaMelech now tell us, I won the war? How did I get through it? And this is his conclusion, part three. Part three is no longer a desperate tefillah to God. We heard his desperate tefillah. We got into the heart of David HaMelech and understood that even David HaMelech, and the confident warrior, knew that Hashem has got to help him through. Part three takes us through the most beautiful, beautiful psukim and practical ones. Lulei hemanti liros betuv Hashem be'eretz chayim. Had I not trusted that I would see the goodness of Hashem in the land of the living. What does that mean? That's the secret. Had I not trusted that I would see good of Hashem in the land of the living. It's the key for Elul. So, Rashi explains, Lulei Hamanti, notice there's a direct object missing there. Any English teachers, you would not, you know, this is okay. Lulei Hamanti, if I had not believed, and then you would get those big red marks on your paper. In what? Question. Lulei Hamanti, obviously when the poetry happens like this, it's to be ambiguous for possibilities, not just one answer. Lulei Hamanti, Rashi says, if I didn't believe in Hashem, Liros betuv Hashem, that I would see the good of Hashem in Eretz Chaim. And here he explains Eretz Chaim is referring to Olam Haba, the land of the eternal living. If I didn't believe that there's a land of truth, and that is what we very much believe in, this concept of whenever we know we're doing the right thing and nonetheless we don't see ourselves clearly winning the battle, we know Hashem understands, and ultimately I'm going to see good from this, for myself, for the world, eternally. But that comes eternally. Correct. It's like our friend Hannah, you know, when you think, I thought about this so much when I was preparing this Tehillim, you know, people battle and battle and battle physical illnesses, and then not always is the answer the way you want it to be. You know, you could have interpersonal issues, and you did everything right, but it doesn't come out the way it should be, and you need to know that my tefillos, my energy, my inspiration, my mitzvos, they are going to come through for me. That's our yisod of our belief. I mean, very much we believe that, because if we don't believe it, we can't go on. Lulei ha'masi. And that's more of the, yes.
I lost it.
Okay.
If I didn't believe in land of truth, which is
If I didn't believe in God, that I would see the beauty of all that He is doing in the Olam Haba, in the Olam HaChaim, the Eretz HaChaim. And therefore, Rashi continues and explains, Kaveh El Hashem, so daven to Hashem, Chazak v'yameitz libecha, and strengthen yourself, the Kaveh El Hashem, and keep davening. Davening is, to Hashem, is not like begging a parent for something, because when your mother says no, or your father says no, or someone says no, the answer is no, and you don't want to hear it again and again and again, the question, stop asking me, I said no. With Hashem, Hashem loves our tefillah. So daven and daven and daven, and then strengthen yourself, because it didn't get the answer you wanted, so you have to re-get yourself going and re-inspire yourself, and then daven some more, and the more you daven, the more Hashem loves it, because Hashem loves the davening. That in and of itself is what it's all about, is getting closer and closer and closer to Hashem. And Rashi says, if you don't get what you want at first, daven and daven and daven and daven. What I would like to share with you is something not as traditional as Rashi's understanding of this psukim, and it's of the Chasam Sofer on his Perush of Tehillim. And he says as follows, and I have it for you on the bottom. You could follow with me, or you could just listen. It says, "Lulei hamanti liros betuv Hashem be'eretz chayim." If I hadn't believed (parentheses) to see the good of Hashem in the land of chayim. Says what it means when it says liros, to see, perush sheyesh biyadi, I have in my hands habechira shenikra liros mashani barerli. I have the ability or the choice to decide what I want to see in this world. That's what the Chasam Sofer is saying. If I didn't believe in, not in God, but if I didn't believe in myself, that I could see good, that I could bring good, I never would have made it. And then he says, you know what Eretz HaChaim is? It's referring to a Gemara in Yuma. And the Gemara in Yuma talks about the land of the Chaim is the land of the Shuk, the land of your mundane shopping, working, doctor's office, bus, train, now we can add, right? All those things. All that's the land of the living. If I didn't believe that I could see good, that I could bring good, that I could have good in my daily life, I would never have been able to make it. If I hadn't believed in myself, which is why who goes home? The guy who has so many averages, I can't do it, I can't. If you don't believe in yourself, you will never win. That's Elul. Lulei, turn the letters around. Lulei. And you get Elul. Elul is the time to start believing in yourself. Because if you're afraid of who you are, go home. You go home, where's God? He's in the battlefield. Where are you? Far away. He continues and he says, you know how to understand the next passage? One might think, I'm in trouble, Kaveh El Hashem, I'm going to daven, 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 daven. He says, no, no, no. If you think it's about Kaveh El Hashem, hoping in Hashem, you missed it. Chazak v'yameitz libecha. Get yourself strengthened, and then Kaveh El Hashem. If you don't believe what I'm saying, it's in the perush on the bottom of the paper. You can say, Habala Taher Misayino. So if you work on yourself, God is going to help you. If you walk around, I can't fight, I'm going to lose, I'm going to get good at this. Get away. Because you're not only not good for yourself, you're not good for anyone else around you either. And you certainly aren't going to merit having Hashem, because if you're not ready to yametz libecha, you're not going to be able to go further. We look at this tilim itself. When David HaMelech, part two is his crying to Hashem, but it starts off with he's confident, he knows, but he knows, if I think it's all about me winning, I'm not going to get there. I've got to daven and ask Hashem to help me. And at that point, Hashem's going to do it for us. Hashem's going to help us. There's a story that we bring down. It's in the Chumash that we read from the Kriya of day number one of Rosh Hashanah. And it's part of the story of Hashem sending out Hagar, and not Hashem, Avram sends out Hagar, he prepares Hagar and Yishmael without going into exactly why. Hagar and Yishmael are sent away and into the desert. And Avram gives them the water that they need and the bread that they need. And let's see the psukim. It's on the other side of the paper. As they're walking into the desert, at some point, pasuk tesvav. I'm reading from line 3 at the end. Vayichlu hamayim min hachemes, and the water was depleted from the jug. There's no more water left. And Hagar panics. We're in the desert. There's no water. But tashlechas hayelet tachas achad hasichim, and she throws the child under a bush. Vatelech vateshev la mineged harchek mi kimitav. She goes like the distance of the shooting of an arrow, meaning she goes far away from this child, because she said, I don't want to see the child die. But Teshev mineged, and she goes far away from the child, Vatisa et kola vatek, and she cries. Why does she cry? Is she crying for help? She's crying because there's nothing to, like a mother would, you know, this is like, she gave up. It's a crying over death. Is the boy dead? No. But that's how she's crying. Vayishma Elokim, and God hears, Eskol Hana'ar. Who does God hear? The voice of the boy. Now, we know that Hagar is screaming her eyes out, right? Crying her eyes out. Vayikra Malach Elokim El Hagar, and so the Malach calls to Hagar, and he says to her, what's the problem, Hagar? Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid here? Kishama Elokim El Kol Hanar, because you know what? Hashem heard the voice of the boy crying, help me, help me, Shema Hashem Koli V'chaneni V'anini Avi V'imi Azavuni, literally, right? And at that point, the Malach comes and says, Kumi, get up, Se'iyat Hanar, and take him, because he's going to be great. And Pasuk Yates, Vayifkach Elokim Eseineha, Hashem opened her eyes, Vatera Be'er Mayim, and she saw this well of water. And they drank from this well of water. So part one I wanted to share with you from Rav Nevenzahl. He explains why is it that the boy was heard and the mother wasn't heard, because she wasn't believing in her tefillah. She was just crying and davening. I'm sure she was davening, but it meant nothing other than words. I have to daven. So she didn't really believe that anything's going to happen. So that's why she's crying along with it. Yishmael believed that he's got to cry because he needs to live. And then Hashem opened her eyes and she saw a well. Hashem didn't put a well there. The well was there the entire time. She didn't see it. Why didn't she see it? She was hiding and crying. And she didn't see that which was in front of her. And she gave up hope, and right in front of her was her salvation, was her solution. It wasn't perfect, it wasn't the house of Avram, but it was the solution that she needed right now to keep moving on. And she wasn't ready to lir ot petuv Hashem. Lulehem manti ba'atzmi, she had no emunah in herself, that Hashem is going to do anything for her. She's just going to cry her eyes out till they all die. And she didn't get to see the lirot betuv Hashem, and Hashem, because of the tefillah of Yishmael, she was able lirot betuv Hashem, the Eretz Chaim, in the middle of the desert. I want to share with you a story. A friend of mine just had a photography exhibit, and the exhibit that she had were photographs of garbage, basically. Garbage, not even regular garbage, garbage that wasn't thrown away in a garbage can. You can imagine such a thing in the city. But she took pictures of garbage all over, and she called it Left Behind. That's what she called it. And you see thousands of pictures of cups and they're placed like in this really cool place and next to a tree, or they're cans that are exactly the color of the vessel or the windowsill that they're on. They're matching the curtains, and she just, you know, chairs that should have been thrown in the garbage and instead are placed in this beautiful meadow, and the cats are sitting in on it. You know, she just took these pictures of garbage and make them look beautiful to the point that she is selling those pictures and people are buying the pictures of garbage. Okay. So at first, it bothered me, because here you are, like, glorifying the people who are leaving garbage out, and we certainly don't want to glorify. It's a horrible thing to do. And then I'm thinking, once It's wrong, it's terrible, and when you see it, you should certainly not, you know, encourage anyone to do it and do everything you can to make sure that doesn't happen. But the reality is, if it happens and it wasn't in your control, what are you supposed to do? Get angry when you see it? What are you going to... But then what does it do for you? So she took this opportunity to say, this is the way it is, so let me see the beauty in it. Let me photograph pictures of it. Let me get money from it, you know? Let me benefit from it. Let me see the good in what's left behind. And then pick it up and throw it in the garbage. But the concept is of looking at the difficult situations or what could make one very upset, and there's nothing you could do about it because other than pick it up. But you know, you didn't put it there. It wasn't your child who put it there. And at that point, you turn the situation into an opportunity to bring good, to do good, to see good. And the same lady, there's an article about her in the Jerusalem Post a number of months ago, where she and her children have been trying to have children for many years, and they were not able to. And it got to the point where she knows she will not be able to have children, and it brought a tremendous amount of pain, obviously, to them. And what she and her husband did was took that pain, and they made 1,000 dolls that they put all over, you may have seen them, all over Yerushalayim, to give to other children. And that's what their life is about, that. It's about taking a difficult, challenging situation that you have and not saying, forget it, I can't, I don't have eternity, I don't have... No. I believe in myself that I can bring good, that I can do good, the Eretz HaChaim eternally, even though the situation isn't exactly the way I want it. And I do want to take a minute to talk about our friend Hannah, who too exemplified this concept of fighting with this understanding of Hashem is constantly with her. There's an expression that you often find when people die after a difficult illness, and they say she lost her battle with cancer, with whatever illness it is. Hannah did not lose any battle. I can tell you that she did not lose. She won. Why it turned out not the way I wanted and the way her family wanted and her friends wanted, that we don't know. Lulei ha'manti l'ros b'tuv Hashem be'eretz chayim. This is where we believe in Hashem, and we know that she is seeing incredible good where she is. But she was a warrior who was not one that would go home. Wherever she came and whoever was in contact with her was inspired by her life, and even as she was dying, they were inspired by the way that she died. She was ki itzbeneni b'suko. She felt her sukkah, a low, not something you necessarily want, became, this is what Hashem wants for me. And she felt very, very uplifted, and we all felt uplifted. So I just want to keep going because I know the time. In conclusion, I just want to end off with a fabulous Sfas Emes, which takes us back to the very beginning of what we were talking about with this Tehillim. The Sfas Emes, in his analysis of struggles, whether they be physical, whether they be spiritual, he says, look in the psukim of Parsha Shoftim, those psukim that we just saw. When there is a war, don't be afraid, because Hashem comes so close to you to help you get through. And therefore, the war itself will bring you good. And he says, for example, look at the war in Mitzrayim. Because we had that difficult struggle in Mitzrayim, we left Mitzrayim and we became a nation and we received the Torah and we received entree into Eretz Yisrael. It was all because we went through the Kor HaBarzel, that difficult situation in Mitzrayim. And he says it's not just about Mitzrayim. Anytime someone has a war and a struggle, it's the milchama, he uses that word. It's part of Hashem's plan to bring us to greater heights. We are Yisrael. We are fighters, and Hashem wants us to fight so that we can get to a much, much better place. And then he says, how do I know? And v'kol kach Hashem yilachem lachem, and Hashem so much will fight for you. And that's why it says in L'David Hashem Oriv Yish'i, im takum alai melchama, if a war actually comes, bizos ani boteach, in this I trust. And the Sfas Emes says, bizos is b'milchama zo ba'atzma. I trust in the battle, in the struggle, in the war itself, that this is what Hashem wants for me. And when you go through the day, and you know any difficulty, this is Hashem, this is what He wants from me. You will get through it. You will have that lulei ha'amanti ba'atzmi. You will get through that an expanded, stronger self. So this Tehillim is not just something that's said, as we said. This Tehillim needs to wake us up every morning, to energize us, to get us marching, to get us going. And then literally, you can bang your like the soldiers. That's what we're supposed to do as we start with David Hashem Ori. Give us the strength to see good, which we ultimately know. Lulei, this is the time of Elul, and we may be zocha to see the many gifts from our struggles themselves. And may we be successful in all our spiritual struggles, and through our difficult spiritual struggles that we go through, merit Hashem not giving us any physical struggles or battles for us individually and for all of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. Amen.